Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Proverbs, we find comparisons between the righteous and the wicked. There are lots of them. The Bible has lots to say about the righteous, and the Bible has lots to say about the wicked. In Proverbs, there are numerous references to these two, and they're often contrasted. There are two interesting pictures of the righteous in Proverbs that we want to preach about today. In one of them, the righteous are compared to a house, and in the other, the righteous are compared to a tree. So we'd like to look at those two pictures of the righteous in the book of Proverbs, and then also we'll see the contrast in both of those pictures to the wicked. First of all, look with me in Proverbs chapter 10 at verse 25. Proverbs chapter 10 at verse 25, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more." Watch it. "But the righteous is an everlasting foundation." If you're going to build a house, you have to start with a foundation, and the foundation has to be solid. Well, if you want your house to last a long time, then you have to put a lot of effort into a long-lasting foundation. And I think home builders and commercial builders have found that there are certain types of foundations that would be acceptable in certain areas that aren't going to work in an area like ours. For instance, the buildings that we have built here at the church, we have used something called a carton form foundation. And basically what is under these foundations, there are piers and pillars that have been drilled down into the ground a long way with bell bottoms on the bottom. And the slabs have been poured onto those piers rather than onto the soil. So as the soil moves up and down, there's no movement at all in the foundation. Very, very secure. Good foundation. And it's good to build a building on a good foundation. Well, let me tell you something. The foundation of the righteous is not just good. The foundation of the righteous is not just suitable. The foundation of the righteous is everlasting. You see what the Bible says? The righteous is an everlasting foundation. And that's not surprising. The reason it's not surprising is that when we got saved, we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our foundation. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the right foundation. Paul was preaching to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he spoke of himself as being a wise master builder. And he says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Watch it, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So if you are building your life upon some other foundation than Jesus Christ, your foundation is not strong enough to be everlasting. It may be a good foundation. You may have good moral character. You may have integrity. You may have good works. And those things all make you a better citizen, and they make a nice house for you to build. But I'm going to tell you something. Those are not everlasting foundations. Good works won't get you to heaven. Integrity won't get you to heaven. They'll make you a better citizen on your way to where you're going. But if you want to get to heaven, if you want a house that's going to last forever, you got to have a foundation that's going to last forever. And Jesus Christ is just the man for that job. He is God manifest in the flesh. Paul likens the church to a household. And in Ephesians chapter 2, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, he says that we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let me tell you something. If you want to build a house that's going to last, you've got to build that house on an everlasting foundation. And in order to do that, you have to be righteous. And your righteousness comes from Jesus Christ when you receive Him as your Savior. You see, when you get saved, you have everlasting life because your house is built on the everlasting foundation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25, when Solomon says, the righteous is an everlasting foundation, the only righteous person that we know in the entire universe is Jesus Christ. And when you build your house on Him, and you build your life on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, you have everlasting life. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be established on the rock. That's Jesus Christ, the solid rock. So the righteous, compared to a house, starts with what? The right foundation, an everlasting foundation. But then, after the foundation is done, that's not all that, you didn't stop there. God wants you to build a house. Anytime you lay down a foundation, the intention is to build something on it. And we're talking about the righteous being compared to a house, so you build a house on it. Proverbs chapter 12, and look at verse 7. The Bible says, the wicked are overthrown and are not, watch it, but the house of the righteous shall stand. The house of the righteous shall stand. So when we got saved, it wasn't just, there's the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord wanted us to have a life, to begin to enjoy the fruits and benefits of the everlasting life now. And because we're part of the household of God, as you saw in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, there is a house that is being built as you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 5, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, a spiritual house. In other words, the house that's being built, you can't see. I mean, God can see it, but you can't see it. Not with your eyes. Nobody can. But God is there when you start building that life of righteousness on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens is this spiritual house is being constructed. So you lay a good foundation and you build a strong house in righteousness. And you know how you do that? By obeying what God said in His words. You know, I don't know how this happens. I really don't. I know that what the Bible says about it, but how this transaction takes place, I really don't know. And what I'm talking about is this. When you get up in the morning and you open that Bible and you read it, you're learning all about, kings, and you're learning about princes, and you're learning about laws and ordinances, and you're learning about prophecy, and you're learning about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're learning about the start of the church, and you're learning about all those things that are true of our salvation, and you learn about the book of Revelation and what's going to happen. You learn how we got here. Just so many things that you learn in the Bible. And you accumulate a lot of knowledge. But you know something else? As you read that Bible day in and day out, somehow God miraculously uses those words to change your life. You're a new creature in Christ when you get saved. But He wants you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow, when you desire the sincere milk of the Word, you grow thereby. And that growth in righteousness is like building a house on that foundation. And when that foundation is solid, like Jesus Christ, and you obey the things that you are reading in the Word of God, your life grows, your spiritual life grows. You grow as a child of God. You become conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a remarkable, miraculous, unexplainable transaction. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25, Jesus Christ explained what happens when somebody listens to the words of God and does them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, Jesus Christ said this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." There's the good foundation, and that rock is Jesus Christ. All right, verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You know, in the world, there's going to be cases of rain and flooding and wind to try to destroy your house. And may I tell you something? It won't fall when it's founded upon a rock. Why? It's a good house. The house of righteousness is not overthrown. The house of righteousness stands. The house of the righteous shall stand, the Bible says. Now, I have an interesting note in the margin of my Bible. And that note says Lorenzo Dow, D-O-W, Lorenzo Dow. You can look up Lorenzo Dow and you'll find that years ago he was an evangelist. And if I'm not mistaken, he went into a town in Georgia. And he had been traveling around preaching the Word of God. He went in there and he stayed in a house or built a house. And he preached there, and they did not want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Wicked people there. And so he left and did what the Bible says. He shook the dust off of his feet and left. I believe that house that's there is the house that he stayed in. Well, let me tell you something. When you go there today, all that's standing in that area where that town once was is that house. And it just reminds me about the house of the righteous. It stands. It's a reminder. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. All right, now, a righteous is compared to a house, so he starts out with an everlasting foundation, got to have that, and he builds him a spiritual house that stands, and then one more thing from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, that house is filled with treasure. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, the Bible says, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." In the house of the righteous is much treasure. So what happens is the house that gets built gets filled with treasure. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from your work for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you allow the Lord Jesus Christ in you to and the Spirit of God in you to accomplish some things in your life that you couldn't otherwise do that are part of building his household. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, the Bible says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now he's going to describe the judgment seat of Christ. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon thereupon," watch it, "he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Notice that he says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What? Gold, silver, precious stones. You know what those are? Those are treasure in the house. You say, how does the house fill with treasure? You end up working for the Lord. You end up ministering for the Lord. And when you do, the work that you do with gold, silver, and precious stones is work that abides. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it's all there to meet you. And that's not all. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Where's that treasure come from that fills that house? Matthew chapter 6. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Oh, that's wonderful. Because what the Lord said here is that you can give. He told that rich man, he said, "I want you to give that money that you have to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven." And what he's saying here is, you can give, and what will happen is, the Lord will lay that up in your house, and you'll have a house filled with treasure. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, notice something. Notice something. The house of the wicked won't stand. You know, we already saw that the house of the wicked is overthrown in Proverbs, but in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house." And you know what happened? It fell. And great was the fall of it. The house of the wicked won't stand. It's overthrown, Proverbs 14:11 says. Now, it might stand on earth, and it might look beautiful on earth, but it won't stand in eternity. The only house that will stand is a house built on the everlasting foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and built as a spiritual house upon that foundation, so that it's strong, and it stands, listen, it stands by doing the Word of God, and then laying up treasure in it, by working for the Lord and by giving. A wicked man's house won't stand, but that house will. And the righteous there, compared to a house, instructs us on what the Lord desires to do in our lives. Now I'm going to show you something else. In Proverbs chapter 12, we also find, and in Proverbs, that the righteous is compared to a tree. To a tree. Well, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3, what do you got to have a tree? You got to have a root. The Bible says, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved." You know, when a tree is well rooted in, you're not going to move that tree. Why? Because it's really planted in deep down below the soil. You have to cut that root in order to be able to get that tree out of there. Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, that Jesus Christ is the root and the offspring of David. So again, if you want to have a righteous tree, if you want to be a tree that is going to stand, whose root is not moved, then you have to be saved. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to have the root and the offspring of David. Now let me tell you something. When you get that kind of root, when you get the root of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get that kind of root, then you know what kind of tree grows up from that root? The tree of life. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." That is beautiful. Why? Because Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is the true God and eternal life, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. That's why when you quote John 3:16, you want to understand something. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." What's the gift? The Son, Jesus Christ. That's the gift. He's the root, okay? So, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," watch it, "but have everlasting life." You see what happens? When you are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, up comes the tree of life. When you get saved, you have eternal life. Your root grows into a tree. And that tree is a tree of life. You know, when you read the Psalms, and a lot of people love to read the Psalms, you start out with Psalm chapter 1. And the first Psalm in the first three verses says this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Watch it. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Why? That tree is alive. People don't seem to understand, when you get saved, you're not getting saved just from hell. I mean, that's a big thing. I don't mean to minimize the importance of that at all. You don't get just saved from hell. You get eternal life. And you know, you don't have to wait until you die. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to begin to experience eternal life. You begin to experience eternal life from the moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What does that mean? You have a root, an offspring of David, which sinks into the ground, and immediately what happens is a tree starts to grow. And as you get into the Bible, as you get into the things of God, as you get into prayer, you know what starts happening? That tree grows and grows. And what does it grow? It grows up into a tree of life. Now look at Proverbs chapter 12. This is not an ornamental tree. It is a fruit-bearing tree. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12. The Bible says, "The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit." That's wonderful. In other words, the Lord didn't want you to grow up into a tree of life so you could just look pretty and be ornamental. I like ornamental trees, don't get me wrong. And their shade and other things like that are very valuable. But the Lord says, I want a fruit-bearing tree. And you know something? The only kind of tree that'll do that is the tree of the righteous. The root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. See, when you get saved, you become the possessor of Jesus Christ, and you become the possessor of eternal life, and you become the possessor of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 do a fabulous job of explaining what happens when you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. Let me just say this. You can yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, and that righteousness will yield in you the fruit of righteousness. You read about that in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. So as you yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His righteousness in you yields something called the fruit of righteousness. And what it is, it's evidence that you are a new creature. There are changes being made in your life all the time so that the sin you used to do, you're not doing, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ you're now doing, and it's not you doing it, but Christ doing it in you. That's a fabulous thing. Another thing we notice is that the Holy Spirit in you yields the fruit of the Spirit. We know that from Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And I'll tell you something, I didn't have any of that before I got saved, and now I got some. And you know who did that? The Spirit of God. Why? Because there's a root down in Jesus Christ, a tree of life that has sprung up, and now the Spirit of God is yielding fruit on that tree. And I'll tell you something else. The Word of God in you yields fruit, and that fruit is more souls. In Mark chapter 4, when we read about the parable of the sower and the seed that falls into the good ground is seed that falls into a good heart. And look what Mark chapter 4, verse 20 says. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What is that? That's the Word of God in you now being preached, being passed out in tract form, being passed out in Bible form. It's you more than a testimony. More, you know, your life is a testimony that something has changed. People can see that, and they can say, wow, that's a different person. But it's your witness. It is the sowing of the seed of the Word of God that brings forth more Christians. People who get saved, and that is a fruitful tree. But I want you to see something. Notice in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 22, that the tree of the wicked is cut off. Proverbs 2:22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Why? You didn't have the right root. The root is Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, when your life comes to an end, they just pull you out like a dead tree, rooted out of the earth and cut off. You know, when John the Baptist was preaching with his baptism, and there were some Pharisees that came there to sort of look what was going on, John the Baptist went ahead and preached to them too. And he said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit," that is, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Word of God, "every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down," watch it, "and cast into the fire." Wow. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is your foundation Jesus Christ? I ask people from time to time, what are you counting on to get you to heaven? Well, I go to church, I'm a good person, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's a wrong foundation. That's you. You need a foundation that's not you. You need a foundation of Jesus Christ. If you want a tree that will grow and bear fruit that's pleasing to the Lord, you need the root and offspring of David. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something. Are you founded on Jesus Christ? Are you rooted in Jesus Christ? If not, you need to trust him. You say, how do I do that? Simple. Jesus Christ has already done all the work that's necessary for you to be saved, but one thing, he cannot impose himself on you. You must receive him. And if you think you're a sinner who can get to heaven without him, you won't receive him. But if you know you're a sinner who can't get to heaven without him, you will abandon your own righteousness and you will cry out to God and ask for Jesus Christ to save you. And the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. It is much better for you to be righteous than to be wicked. In other words, you may be having a good time right now. You may be enjoying your wickedness. You may be enjoying the life that you have, thinking, man, I don't want anything about this to change. But I'm going to tell you something. It's short-lived. It's much better to be righteous than to be wicked. Why? Because you might get away with some things that make you think that being wicked is better than being righteous. I know when I got saved, and I had some friends of mine that didn't want to get saved at the time, they looked at my life and they thought, well, I don't like those changes. You know, he's not going out drinking and partying and having a good time and all that kind of stuff. So they're thinking being wicked is better than being righteous. But I'm going to tell you something. It takes time to build a house, and it takes time to grow a tree. And after the fruit of righteousness becomes apparent and the house becomes apparent, when the house is finished and the tree is grown, you're going to realize then how foolish you were to pursue wickedness, because you'll have nothing but destruction to show for it, and I'll have eternal life to show for it. And I want to recommend to you eternal life in Jesus Christ. My friend, build a house on Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.